50 years ago, the first two black students walked onto the campus of the University of Georgia. One of them was Hamilton Holmes, or Hamp, to his friends. The other was Charlene Hunter. They were both high achievers, first and third in their class at the same Atlanta high school. But they didn't reach their chosen university until a federal judge cleared away the resistance of authorities in Georgia. Afterward, both students went on to successful careers. Holmes became a doctor, and Hunter is now Charlene Hunter Gault, who has reported over the years for NPR News. She remembers the day they walked onto campus in January 1961.
We were greeted by a screaming, howling mob of students and I think some provocateurs. And as we walked under the arch, the students were yelling and screaming all kinds of epithets and telling us to go home and in some cases saying kill the you-know-what. And we were led by, accompanied by Vernon Jordan, who was on the legal team that had won the case, and my mother, who was about 5 feet 4 inches tall, Hamp's father, and Hamp. And we had no security or anything, and we just walked into this crowd so confident that we were doing the right thing that I just don't think we ever for a moment thought about being afraid. And at one point, we had to leave one building and go to another, and Vernon and I are both tall, and we were walking rather briskly, and my mother called out, "Don't walk so fast. My legs are not as long as yours." so, you know, we maintained our moments of sanity, I think, by being just who we were.
Didn't you have to do this twice, though? You went for a day, then it was advised that you stay away for a while for your own safety.
And then... Well, it was advised because there was a riot outside my dormitory the second night I was on campus. I lived in a dorm room, that was isolated from the other students. The girls lived on the second floor. I lived on the first. So that second night, as I was preparing to go to bed, I hadn't yet unpacked my clothes. They were in a suitcase on the floor. And I was used to the noise from the previous night, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, we don't want to integrate. And all of a sudden, in the middle of one of these chants, a brick was hurled through the window. Mm-hmm. And you know, in those days, I might have been a historical symbol, but I was also a 19-year-old girl, and I loved clothes. And the thing I thought about as that brick came through my window was, oh, my goodness, there's glass all over my clothes.
Oh, man.
And shortly after that, the dean came and said we were being suspended for our own safety. I was upset that I thought this could be the end, but I was careful not to say anything. And as I walked out of the dorm, the girls had come down from the second floor. They were all assembled down there because tear gas had been thrown to disperse the crowds somewhat belatedly. And so they had been told to change their sheets in case some of the gas got in the sheets. And just as I walked past the semicircle of girls there, one threw out a quarter and said, "Here, Charlene, go upstairs and change my sheets." That was sort of indicative of most of the attitudes there at the time. And then our lawyers went back to the courts the very next day, and we were readmitted and came back the following Monday just to give us time to catch our breath.
Did it ever feel normal?
Well, I guess there were times when it felt pretty normal. There were students in the journalism school who became friends. And then there was a teacher who just passed recently. Her name was Frances Wallace. And she had seen from her window up high in the building where she lived the rioting students. And when things calmed down, she invited me over for tea. And we didn't talk about race and racism and hatred and stuff like that. We talked about Dostoevsky. We talked about Yevtushenko. You know, all the writers, J.D. Salinger and Robert Frost, all the people that I was enamored with as a student of English. And those were precious days. And the tea was pretty good, too.
Mm. How do you think your life might be different if you had gone somewhere else to college?
Well, you know, my lifelong dream had been to be a journalist, but I think my path was different in one way because of the notoriety of the case. I was invited to come to New York by that legendary editor, William Shawn.
He was the editor of the New Yorker magazine for
many years. Yeah, yeah. And so I was hired as an editorial assistant. So within a short period of time, I had started to write, and the pieces were good enough to be published in the magazine. So I got off to a very good start. But I think that there are some values that were reinforced for me as a person, as a human being, going through that, you know, it was almost like a double existence. On the one hand, I was the subject of the news people covering me, and on the other hand, I was watching them watching me. And there was some extraordinary journalists covering the Southern Civil Rights Movement, and my case in particular, one of them was Calvin Trillin. And one of the things I learned about journalism and journalists is that you don't have to be an advocate for something you care about, but you can care about something and do it in a totally acceptable journalistic way without violating any kind of principles. And you could be a human being with your subjects. I mean, Calvin Trillin would call me some nights when the students were still yelling outside my dormitory and say, he was from New York. He'd say, how'd you like a pastrami sandwich right about now? Well, now look, if anybody was going to get a scoop, if anything was scoopable, he was going to get it, you know? So I learned that you can develop your sources and be nice to people. So I was able to be an observer as well as a participant, and fortunately of an age where I could learn and benefit looking at the good and the bad.
In 1961, Charlene Hunter was one of two black students who integrated the University of Georgia. Today, Charlene Hunter-Gault is a distinguished journalist joining us from Chicago. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News, directed by Asma Khalid, Lindsay Toddy, and Vince Pearson. Our production staff includes Jess Gittner, Travis Larchuk, Kevin Leahy, Leah Scarpelli, and Selena Simmons-Duffin. Ben Bergman and Melissa Yeager-Miller, along with Sasha Woodruff, are at NPR West, and our executive producer is Madalika Kasika. The executive director of news programming is Ellen McDonald, and Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Steve Inskeep. Have a nice weekend.